Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, August 23rd. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Rose of Lima. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across our great nation, across America. It's good to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In case you missed us talking about it both this morning and yesterday, a huge thank you to our Relevant Radio family, that is to you, for another amazing Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive last week. It was fantastic. We made our goal of $3 million, and that happened late Friday night, without a doubt, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, and many, many memoraries, many prayers for the success of our pledge drive. Here are the latest totals, nearly $3,109,000 from 15,174 gifts from you, our Relevant Radio family. We can't do it without you, and again, thank you so much. If for whatever reason you missed last week's pledge drive, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a ring at the old-fashioned way, 877-291-0123, or online at relevantradio.com, or you can, of course, always make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines this hour here on this Tuesday morning?
Well, former President Trump pushing back with the raid at Mar-a-Lago. He and his legal team filed a motion last night. They're looking for an independent review of the record seized by the FBI, calling it unprecedented and unnecessary, the raid earlier in the month on Mar-a-Lago. He notes that this involved political calculations aimed at diminishing him, as he calls the leading voice in the Republican Party. And so that's not a surprise that the former president going to push back there. The New York Times says up to 300 documents marked classified were taken from Mr. Trump.
And so the Mar-a-Lago saga continues for former President Trump. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci is stepping down. What's been the reaction from that blockbuster news yesterday?
Well, he's been a love him or hate him guy coming to prominence, even though he served seven presidents, but coming to prominence, of course, a couple of years ago as we tried to figure out what to do about COVID. He says he's not really retiring altogether, just time for a new chapter in life. He's still going strong, I guess, at age 81. But Anthony Fauci, the doctor, stepping down from his role as the primary advisor on infectious disease.
And it is primary election day in New York and Florida. What are we looking for in these two states?
Well, in Florida, Democrats looking to figure out who will go up against Ron DeSantis for governor there. That's coming up in just a few months in November, of course. On the Democratic side, it'll be Ag Commissioner Nikki Fried going up against a former Republican and now Democratic Congressman Charlie Crist. And in New York, redistricting has put a couple of incumbents in the same area. Democratic Representatives Jerry Nadler and Carolyn Maloney battled out in the same district there.
Well, as always, appreciate your perspective, Glenn. Thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We always begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Imagine all of the saints, the heroes of our faith, crowded into a spiritual stadium, looking down from heaven on the faithful running the race of our faith, cheering us on to the ultimate victory of heaven. The communion of saints in heaven are praying for us and interceding for us because we are one body in Christ. At the end of the race, at the finish line, stands our blessed Lord with our blessed Mother Mary, waiting with open arms to reward us in paradise. So keep running the race of life. Keep running with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on our leader, Christ Jesus, the Lord. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And now let's talk about love. Now, since I began hosting Morning Air in June of last year, we have been talking with our good friend and regular contributor, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, who herself is a former radio and TV host. Every Tuesday, we address the all-important topic of love from a variety of different perspectives, and listeners sometimes comment and provide feedback to her. Today, we're going to address a question that some ask. Why don't I feel loved? Martha is an international bilingual speaker, former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for being with us for another discussion here on another Tuesday. Great to be with you once again.
Thank you. Always good to be with you, John.
I want to start, Martha, with the question that some of our listeners are asking. If God loves us, why don't we feel loved all the time?
That's why I always have to remind them to remember they are loved. And there are many reasons why that happens. Unfortunately, for some people, it's because they don't know God. They don't know his love and his plan for their lives. They simply don't know who God is, that God is love, that he created us with a plan in mind, with a purpose in mind. And so they're not able to experience that love of God. For other people, even baptized Christians, the problem is that they don't have a personal, intimate, life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. So they might believe in God, but they don't necessarily know God on an experiential level. They don't know the closeness of God, the intimacy of God. They don't know that Christ is walking not only beside us, but inside us, that he wishes to dwell within us. So that happens with even people who have been baptized into Christ. And not every practicing Catholic Christian has had a stirring up or an infilling of the Holy Spirit. If we're baptized, of course, we have received the Holy Spirit. If we are confirmed, of course, we've received the Holy Spirit. But for many of us, we've not had that Holy Spirit stirred up within us, as St. Paul says, that stir into flame, he says to St. Timothy, the gift that you have received with the laying on of hands. In his case, it was likely he was referring to his own ordination as a priest to St. Timothy. But that's true of all of us who have had hands laid on us at baptism and that confirmation. And so a lot of times the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the love of God, is not stirred up within us. So we need that. We need to have a fresh outpouring, some people would say, of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the New Testament, we see that several times they seem to receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So those are some of the reasons. But then we also are aware that we're fighting a very fierce fight for our minds and our souls We're fighting against the three enemies of the soul, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And a lot of times these enemies of our soul and of our relationship with God, they get in the way. And so we don't experience the love of God on a day-to-day basis. And they don't let us experience the closeness of God. We shouldn't let another day go by. Any of us, you who are listening to us, should not let this day go by without asking the Lord to reveal himself to you, to reveal his love to you. And do not believe, this is the other problem, John, sometimes, do not believe the enemy of your soul. Do not listen to Satan. Say, as the Lord said, behind me, Satan, because life is challenging since the fall at the beginning. And more or less, we're all broken and we're all drawn away from God in different ways, in a variety of ways. And so make sure that you're listening to God and his love and not to the enemy.
And Martha, I think that this issue of loved and God being loved and God loves each one of us in a special way is so important. This is why we've been talking about this for well over a year. We always try to look at love from all these different perspectives. What about the human relationships? How do our human relationships affect our relationship with God, God the Father, with the Holy Trinity?
Yes, well, that is often the situation that depending on how well we've been loved on earth, we may have a difficulty loving God who is in heaven. And so sometimes we don't feel loved by those who should love us right here on earth. And so it happens that actually the more we have been loved, the more we are able to love. A lot of times, now it's extraordinary that a lot of times people who have not been properly loved have a capacity to love. But a lot of times these are the very people who will write then to me, send me a message at rememberyouarelove.com and say, hey, why don't I feel that love? And so it's not infrequent that the more humanly loved we are, the more we will feel the love and give love and receive love. But also the inverse is true, that it's not infrequent that the less loved you were growing up, the less likely it's not uncommon, right, that you would be less likely to experience on a personal level that love. So many people have suffered a profound love wound early in life, and many people have suffered many love wounds later in life. And so the love of God, a lot of times, for a lot of other people, it has become a lesser good than other loves, or I should say lusts. So it happens that a lot of times we've not properly been loved by our parents, our siblings, relatives, friends, teachers, coaches, or we have been wounded by some of these individuals, including many times clergy and other, quote, influencers. And that can break us or make us. And these are people who have influence in our lives. Now people talk about influencers, these people who are usually paid by someone and they go out there and put out ideas and so forth. But how about those early influencers that had a real big say in the way our hearts and our minds were shaped? And even later in life, you know, in marriage, spouses a lot of times are instead of being a conduit, a means by which we experience the love of God can be the opposite. You know, so many people who have suffered real rough marriages are in the middle of a rough marriage or have experienced divorce. So a lot of times, all of these experiences early on, especially in the case of use or neglect or abuse, that can wound our heart, what I call a love wound, and it can have a lingering effect throughout our lives. And then, of course, there are many people who early in their life or later have had very significant struggles in their family structure or wherever, personality disorders, mental illness, emotional challenges, addictions, obsessions of all sorts, and a number of other challenges that oftentimes impede or block that love flow between God and the soul, between that person and their neighbor.
Well, Martha, and we're speaking this morning with our good friend, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, a Catholic evangelist and the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Martha, how can we explore how our love wounds might be actually limiting our ability to receive and to give love fully and to give it freely?
Well, it's kind of simple in a sense, not that the process of healing is necessarily simple, but go to prayer. Including healing prayer. ask the Lord and ask those who have a gift for prayer to pray for you to be healed and even to have revealed prayer that wound might be and the Lord might heal you. I've experienced since the age of about 18 or 19, I've been accustomed to people who have a gift for healing, praying over other people, and in fact, receiving healing, sometimes of wounds that they're not even aware of, because a lot of times you will encounter, it's not common, like you don't encounter it every day, but there are people, where, you know, a lot of people know about St. Padre Pio, who had the gift of knowledge, he could read hearts. Well, there are still people to this day that the Lord gifts with that, and sometimes they can perceive that which is revealed to them by God, and they can bring about healing. A lot of times, the person praying for you doesn't even know what's going on, but they're simply praying for healing. I go to a healing mass, we call it, every mass has a potential to be healing, but this mass on the first Friday of the month, there's prayers for healing, and it started with one priest. Now there's every month about four priests, and so after mass, they pray over anyone who wants to come up for physical or inner healing. So prayer for inner healing. Secondly, spiritual direction. And sometimes going to a regular confessor can be a very good means of receiving healing in these love wounds, which have affected our relationship with the Lord, but also even with our with other human beings. And so a lot of times when you are receiving some sound, solid spiritual direction, that can also be a means by which you begin to heal in those areas that need healing. But also just learning. The more we understand about love, the better. And don't take it just from the media, what love is, because it's very distorted, except for Catholic media like this one. But learn about what true love is, what it means to be loved, what it means to receive love. There are so many great books out there and series and like shows like this one where we have a segment every week. But for a lot of people also, I would highly encourage counseling and even therapy, you know, where including group therapy or support groups are many times the conduit and the means that the Lord will use for people to come to understand more deeply what it is that's limiting their ability to receive and give love or to experience that on a regular basis. And you know what, John? And that's why I said at the beginning, it's kind of simple, but it's so profound. Friends. If you have a strong, supportive, reliable network of friends who know you and love you, that's always a healing presence in your life. I'm not talking about toxic people. In fact, those are the ones that we need to root out of our lives and of course, not be one ourselves. But friends who can know us and love us and accept us can be a means of healing for us. And then last but not least, I would also suggest service. A lot of times it's through serving others that we see God in others and that we see ourselves in others. And we can, through our service, receive love and give love and strengthen our experience of love.
Martha, all these are great suggestions. They remind me of the end game, which I believe it was St. John of the Cross who said, at the end of our lives, we're going to be judged on whether or not we were people of love. How can a deeper relationship with God help us heal and become better love recipients and love givers?
Well, as I said a moment ago, every Mass can be a healing event. Every encounter with the Lord can be a healing moment because God is the healer and the lover per excellence. So the closer we draw to God, the more we draw to love. And the more we relate to God as he would have in a close, intimate, personal relationship with him, the more of his love we will experience. And the beautiful thing about the Lord is that when he speaks, his word is effective. It's active. He says to the prophet, I will not send my word to earth and it will not return to me. I will send my word and it will not return to me ineffective or fruitless. And so it's like when he rains upon us, he soaks us. Now, for some of us, sometimes it'll feel like a little dribble, like a little, you know, it's not an outpouring of love or of like rain. It's just a little drizzle. But the Lord, no matter how quickly or how slowly we might find the action of his work in our lives. He is at work. He's always at work in our lives. So knowing God and his love and his plan for our lives puts life and pain and eternity into perspective. And knowing that plan as he has revealed it in sacred scripture and in sacred tradition and throughout the 2,000-year-old authentic magisterium of the church, knowing that helps us correct any wrong beliefs that we have about ourselves and about others and about God. So that drawing close to God and also through a regular sacramental life, that provides us a real tangible means of ongoing grace and healing. It's like a reparative therapy where God heals the broken parts of us through the Eucharist and through confession on a regular basis. So the more we come to know the Lord, the more we discover him, the more we discover ourselves, and that love exchange deepens and heals and strengthens and equips us to love.
And let's not forget that spiritual radiation therapy of praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, mm-hmm. the power of being in front of our Lord Jesus Christ's true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, how that can also help us heal.
Absolutely. That's like what I call sunbathing, S-O-N.
There you go. Final thoughts.
Do not accept a mediocre love life with God, because he's willing to flood your soul with his love. So don't believe the enemy of your soul, say, behind me, Satan, and ask, seek, knock, and be healed. Ask the Lord to heal you, to fill you. When the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? Say as the blind man, Lord, I want to see. I want to see your love for me. I want to see how much I can love others. And go out and love somebody today.
That's what it's all about, loving God and understanding that God loves you. Martha, where can the folks find you if they want to invite you to speak and come to their area?
You can find me at MarthaFernandezSardina.com, or you can just Google me or search Martha Fernandez Sardina, and also at RememberYouAreLoved.com. And John, remember, you are loved.
Thanks so much, and so are you. Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and the host of Remember You Are Love TV series. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer, professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management, will be with us to discuss why Padre Pio called the rosary a weapon. Stay with us, America, as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. If you weren't with us yesterday on Monday or the first hour of today's show, perhaps you haven't heard the good news. We did make our pledge drive goal. We did hit our goal of $3 million late Friday night. It was truly amazing. I just want to say once again, if you haven't heard the news, thank you. Thank you for an incredible Answer the Call summer pledge drive. There's no doubt in my mind that we did it with a big assist through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. All those memoraries that we prayed all last week, and so many of us praying with our listeners, the memorari, the power of prayer, absolutely in play, and especially the prayers of our Blessed Mother in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. For whatever reason, if you weren't part of the pledge drive last week, you were out of town, on vacation, whatever, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call at 877-291-0123. You can do it online at relevantradio.com, or you can make a pledge on the Relevant Radio app. Again, thank you so much, Relevant Radio family. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, in a recent article of The Atlantic titled How Extremist Gun Culture is Trying to Co-opt a Rosary, the article says this about Catholics. These armed radical traditionalists have taken up a spiritual notion that the rosary can be a weapon in the fight against evil and turned it into something dangerously literal. This is absolutely laughable. Listen to Catholic journalist and Fox and Friends co-host Rachel Campos Duffy react to this Atlantic article.
Fox and Friends weekend co-host Rachel Campos Duffy has a rosary or two in her purse. My mom did. I've got one on my desk. Rachel, are they trying to cancel the rosary?
Who knew that you and I were both right-wing extremists for having a rosary? And it seems funny, but it's actually not. The first thing that authoritarians try to do, Steve, is to delegitimize and ban religion because it is an existential threat against the state. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you have here. And I think what they're trying to do, and we're seeing more articles like this. This seems comical, but we're seeing more and more articles trying to associate people who are faithful, especially those who adhere to, you know, more orthodox or traditional interpretations of faith, as somehow being right-wing extremists, mm-hmm. white nationalists, fringe. And I think we ought to be very careful of that.
Very good reminder by Fox and Friends co-host Rachel Campos Duffy. And what you didn't see, because you're listening to the audio, is that she had a rosary in her hand. She also had holy water on the set of Fox. Joining us now live for much more perspective on the power of the rosary is Morning Air regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer. Harry's a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and is an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Good morning, Professor Harry. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Always great to be with you, John, and the Relevant Railroad family. Always great.
Professor, what is your reaction to what you just heard from Rachel Campos Duffy and this recent hit piece by The Atlantic, how extremist gun control is trying to co-opt the rosary?
I guess, you know, John, you know, I sometimes try to have a sense of humor, but I just think this is just so ridiculously absurd. It drives me crazy. And I don't even like to name the mention of the publication because I don't even want to give it credit for anything. It's just it's part of, John, the world we live in where people don't take the time to understand things. I think I mentioned to you previously, John, I literally at least a couple times a day try to quote St. Francis' comment, I seek to understand before I'm understood. So I'd almost like, John, to give people the benefit of the doubt that maybe because they haven't taken the time to understand, they actually don't understand what they're talking about. And maybe the best example of that is I was reading a little article that quoted and talked a little bit about Padre Pio, and as you know, how focused he was on the rosary. And one of the things in the article it pointed out, again, I think we always need to go back to the New Testament, Chief, and you may have seen this, but it literally a quote here from Ephesians 6:11-12, quote, put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. This has nothing to do when we talk about a struggle, when we talk about the fact that, you know, the rosary can be a weapon. This is not against people. This is not against, you know, guns and so on. But again, John, if people truly want to pick on people, if they really truly don't want to be open-minded and understand what are we doing and why, you know, you can raise all these ridiculous issues, John. And it's I find it absolutely absurd how something that we could be doing consistent with what Mary, the Mother of God, has asked it to do is somehow evil. It just strikes me as just bizarre.
It is absolutely mind-numbing to think that people think negatively about the rosary, that they can even tie it into some of these political perspectives. How in the world has the rosary become a threat to some political groups?
Well, you know, it's funny, John, but this is the way I've been very, very fortunate because my wife, Julie, who literally, by the way, John, it turns out my wife, Julie, will say the rosary every night, no matter what. for the last 20 years, and she has not missed a night. And what I mean by that, John, just to be clear, if we're on a plane, it's delayed, whatever, if we don't get back to the house till 2 o'clock in the morning, okay, and I'm dead, I'm beat, I gotta go sleep, she'll say, well, I need 15 minutes, Harry, because I'm not going to bed without saying the rosary. And I mean, the power of the rosary, and she'll always quote all of the times that Mary, every time she's appeared, whether it's Fatima, Lord, has always said, you know, play the rosary. What I think has happened, John, and you can give me your thoughts on this. It's always fun to share these ideas with you. And once again, I'm going to steal something from Julie. It's almost like, okay, let's take the time, John. Let's take a minute. Let's understand, how did we get here? And the way Julie describes it to me, which I think is enlightening, is that I understand, John, I understand that over the last 20, 30 years, there's been this view in this country of, oh, you know what? We need to accept everybody. We need to accept. And even though that they're different, no matter, even if we don't think agree with their practices, no matter what issue is, we just really need to accept people. And on the surface, John, you can almost say, well, yeah, maybe we should be more accepting of people less different than us. But what I think she mentions is, wait a minute, if everything is acceptable, if no matter what anybody does with their life, that's acceptable, she said, well, does that really mean that there's no such thing as sin? That you can do whatever you want to do? Okay, that's one aspect that I find fascinating. And then the other one is, all right, we're supposed to accept anything, but wait a minute. No, wait a minute. If you happen to be Christian, if you happen to believe strongly in Jesus Christ, if you happen to want to say the rosary, is that not okay? So, I mean, there's something really strange that goes on, John, where we're supposed to accept anything anybody wants to do, except if it has a strong religious perspective. Something is wrong, John. We've gone down a path on secularism that I just think is very, very dangerous. And I think we really need, as parents and as grandparents, we just need to make sure that, you know, our children understand where we're headed, because we've somehow, John, gone from, you know, the original one nation under God to, oh, we're not supposed to talk about that. And in fact, it's not okay for you to talk about that. I get a little wound up about this one, John. I'm an optimistic guy, but this one I find very worrisome.
I am with you 100%. It's just outrageous. You know, when you think, you brought up Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, he was clearly not advocating for violence against other human beings when he spoke about the rosary as a weapon, and yet so many folks are misunderstanding this. You know, my wife, my other half, has a sense of humor also, and you know, she posted something really funny yesterday. She wrote, I believe this is in Facebook, she wrote, if they think the rosary is an extremist weapon, wait till they find out about this one. And she posted a picture of the scapular. The scapular. It's like, wait till they find out about the scapular that goes with the rosary.
No, it's
hilarious.
You know, no, it's amazing. And again, I think going to people like St. Padre Pio and literally watching his words. Here's another quote, John, from one of the articles that one of your team gave me. And he literally says, here's his prayer. Have pity on me. May one compassionate look at yours revive me, purify me, and lift me up to God, raising me from the filth of this world that I may go to him who created me, who regenerated me in holy baptism, giving me back my white stole of innocence that original sin had so defiled. Dear mother, make me love him. Now, how that and the rosary can be viewed as a negative, I mean, the absurdity of it, John, is just ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It really is. I want to talk about how the rosary has impacted your life. But first, I want to take a short break and also invite our listeners. If you want to share your own experiences of the power of the rosary, we're taking your calls for Professor Harry Kramer at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Daniel, stand by. We're going to come to you first as soon as we come back on the other side of the break, as we're going to take a short time out and continue our discussion with Professor Harry Kramer, talking about the power of the Holy Rosary. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit.
looking at life from a Catholic worldview. This is Morning Air.
This imagery of the spiritual battle that we're in, as the rosary and prayer as a weapon in this spiritual battle, as sacramentals, whether they're holy water or whatnot, against the devil, these are things we believe in, and we use that imagery because we believe we're fighting something very evil. We should be very protective of our religious liberties and push back against this kind of bigotry against Christians.
That's the co-host of Fox and Friends, Rachel Campos Duffy, talking about the power of the rosary, talking about the rosary in the context of a recent hit piece that was written by The Atlantic, how extremist gun control is trying to co-opt the rosary. If you want to be part of our conversation this morning, if you want to share what the rosary means to you, if you have experienced the power of the intercession of our Blessed Mother through the Holy Rosary, be part of our conversation at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, as we continue chatting with Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. Professor, tell me, how has the rosary affected you personally? I know your wife, Julie, is very devoted to the rosary, but how has it touched your heart?
You know, when I first got exposed to it was really through Julie. But then also, John, what had an enormous impact on me is when I started 40 years ago going on my annual three-day silent retreat at the Jesuit Retreat Center de Montreville in St. Paul, Minnesota. I got to tell you, I go the first weekend in December, John, and there's about 65, 70 men, and every day right after lunch, for about 20 minutes, 65 folks, even in the snow, we literally walk around the entire campus and cite the rosary. And we do it every day. And I have to tell you, when I do that with 70 people that have all got, you know, it's five below zero, they've all got their rosaries, there's something that unites us. I always feel this uplifting. You know what? I'm not in this by myself. You know, I have other strong Catholic friends that support me to do this. And over the years, I've actually had my brother and even people that live with me near in Chicago that are friends that I work with that also come up there. And, you know, that power of doing it, not just yourself, but doing it with other people. No matter what my day has been like, no matter what's going on, when I sit there and I start to listen to Julie do it, I'll try to chime in with her. Because I just realized that how all of the stuff that we deal with, John, sort of almost goes away when we put things into perspective. Yes, we've got challenges. Yes, we've got things that we're dealing with our jobs or our children or whatever. But I don't know. When you start to say the rosary, you start to realize, you know what? This is all just a blink of an eye. Because what we're really doing is we're preparing for eternal life with Christ. And for some reason, for me, it's a tremendous calming influence, John. This ability to put things into perspective.
Well, Professor Harry, you talk about the power of the rosary and praying it with many others. We here at Relevant Radio have taken the words of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917 to the children that we must pray the rosary every day. We've really taken those words to heart because, as you know, we pray the rosary every day here as a network, as a Relevant Radio family, with the Family Rosary Across America. Father Rocky prays with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands potentially, of listeners for all their intentions every day. So we experience and we hear these miracles every single day. We experience the power of the rosary. Daniel is joining us this morning from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Daniel, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry Kramer.
Good morning. Thanks, John, for your show, and Glenn for the Story Corner. I love it every morning.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say... I got my first rosary after my first Holy Communion. My grandparents gave it to me, and I remember as a boy saying the rosary, almost singing the rosary back and forth with my grandmother in her big butter-colored Cadillac. And I think that's what started me on the rosary. And now I say the rosary every day with Father Rocky, which makes it a lot easier to stick to the commitment to say the rosary every day. So thank you, Father Rocky, for that. And regarding the Atlantic article, if we've been saying that the rosary is a weapon for years or maybe lasts longer than that, but it is not a weapon against people. It's a weapon against evil and the devil. And if you're the devil or a demon, you probably consider the weapon a very formidable and scary weapon. And so I think if the author of that article feels the same way about the rosary, maybe it reflects on the company he keeps.
Thanks so much, Daniel. Professor, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, Dan, one, I appreciate your call. And two, I think you raise a good point. There's a certain ignorance, I think, that goes on when people, as I said earlier, don't take the time to listen and understand why do people do the things that they're doing. And, you know, and as I think about your comment, Dan, you know, one of the things that I sometimes realize is that, you know, as you correctly said, it's really a weapon against evil. It's a weapon against the devil. It's not against other people. But see, therein lies one of the problem I think some of these people have, right? Because if you want to do anything you want to do, Dan, and there's, you know, you don't want to even believe that there's a thing like sin that exists and the devil doesn't exist, well then, you know, why are these people doing this? And, you know, they're bringing up, boy, we're bringing things up that you do have to have certain behavior. You do have to live a life of purpose and meaning and values and following commandments. But if you don't want to do that, the idea that this is a weapon, wait a minute, why do you need a weapon? There is nothing that's bad. Well, guess what? There is. But I think it kind of goes against some of their philosophy. Therein lies one of the problems, I think, John.
Daniel, thanks so much for sharing with us. We go to Orlando, Florida. Alan is with us. Good morning. Alan, welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. I hope you all are doing well today.
Counting our blessings, for sure.
Amen. I just wanted to reiterate a story. My brother just passed away recently, and I've been very meaningful in my life, but I had a recent experience of the rosary. I was really strongly advised, or I was going to meet him. It was going to be difficult circumstances. And I think it was the Holy Spirit asked me to pray the rosary. And as I was praying, it was on a Saturday morning, so I was praying the joyful mysteries. And I just had this beautiful sense of euphoria, like our Blessed Mother was hugging me on the inside and just said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And if anything, the rosary does not bring war. It is a spiritual weapon for sure, but it brought me great peace. I'm still in the midst of my suffering, of my grieving, but she says it's okay, and she has been with me and with her son, leading me to Jesus through all this. So this is I can say a lot about the rosary in this way of being an instrument of peace.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for sharing. Our condolences to the loss of your brother. Professor Harry, your thoughts.
Yeah, we'll definitely pray, Ryan, for your brother. And I love your comment, Ryan. This isn't about creating war on anybody. It's really about bringing peace. And every time I see a group of people together saying the rosary, it is the most peaceful thing on this earth. So this bizarre view that it could be something different than that, I almost don't want to talk about it, John, in terms of because I don't even want to give any credibility to this insanity. But I think Ryan sums it up so well.
Thanks again. We go to McAllen, Texas. Deanna is with us. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to share my story about the rosary, about how miraculous it really is. This was like 30-some years ago. God put in my heart a desire for another child. I couldn't have children anymore medically, so... But in my heart, I really still wanted to have a child. So on my lunch break, I would go to church, in this church by work, and I would pray the rosary there. I would sacrifice my lunch, and I would pray the rosary to God, oh, Blessed Mother, to give me another child. And in due time, in God's timing, I was able to, God or the Blessed Mother, you know, answered my prayers, and she... Through a lady that didn't want her child, through adoption, I was able to get my Katie. And that's the story that I've always share people that, but the power of the rosary is so strong. You know, whatever you desire in your heart, the Blessed Mother is always there to help, you know, through the rosary. And so, and she's my miracle child. You know, she was, you know, I was so afraid that, you know, the mom would change her mind, but, and I asked for a sign, and the sign was that she was born on the same day my brother was born. So I knew in my heart that that was family already, that she was going to be mine forever.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you. We have about a minute left, Professor. What a powerful, powerful testimony of the power of the rosary.
Wow. I get emotional just listening. That's such a blessing. And again, you know, yes, we've all got problems. And let's think about day by day, you know, some of our listeners, you know, some listeners may be losing their job. They may have issues with their children or want to have children. But this whole idea of doing what Mary has asked us, you know, many, many times. Every time, it's funny, John, almost every time she's appeared, she has said to pray the rosary. And just like, you know, Jesus really taught us the Our Father, I think Mary is focused on all of us related to the rosary. And I think the more we do that, the more we think about that, the more we remind one another, and we do that in living a really good life. I think the example, John, we can have on other people. I mean, I think we're really called, John, to be an example. If we're going to bring more people to him, how we do that becomes, I think, incredibly important.
Well, Professor Harry, it's great to be with you as always. What an important topic to talk about, the power of the rosary, especially when we see these attacks against the rosary. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Always, my friend. God bless. Take good care and have a really great week, John.
Many blessings to you, Professor Harry Kramer. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Buried in the Backyard by Joseph Mazzella. I love old stories, parables, and fables. They say so much with so few words. They reach right into your heart and mind and shine the light of truth. One of my favorite of these stories is of an old farmer. He was constantly worried about his farm, his health, his family security. This made him frustrated, fearful, angry, and upset. He often took this out on his family as well. One day, plowing in his back field, his plow hit a chest full of gold coins. He was shocked by his sudden good luck and wondered what he'd do or buy with his new wealth. In the end, he decided to bury the treasure again and save it. This would be his security in times of hardship. Over the years, he never dug up the gold or spent a single coin of it. Knowing it was there, however, caused a change in him. He was no longer worried or fearful. Instead, he became peaceful and happy. He was kind to his sons and loving to his wife. He gave to charity and helped his neighbors. His whole life became a gift of love. The entire community was amazed at the change in him. Finally, on his deathbed, he gathered his sons together to tell them the secret that he'd kept to himself all those years. After he peacefully passed away, his sons went out to the field to dig up the chest of gold coins. When they found it, though, it was empty. Someone had discovered it and stolen the gold long ago. What all of this, and what all of us in life need to see, is that our true security isn't buried in our backyards, but buried deep in our hearts and souls. Gold is temporary. God is eternal. He loves us all so much that he's here to support us and walk with us throughout our entire lives. Why worry then? Instead, dig up your treasure of love within and share it with everyone. You'll only grow richer, and the inheritance you leave will last forever. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
I love that verse. Thanks again for another powerful story, Corner Glenn. Honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary this month of August by praying the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio. And, of course, you can watch it live at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gary Burke, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow.